President Obama used his commencement address at the U.S. Air Force Academy yesterday to push back on Republican claims that he leads from behind. The president told the Air Force class of 2012 that there is new confidence in American leadership.
Around the world, the United States is leading once more. From Europe to Asia, our alliances are stronger than ever. Our ties with the Americas are deeper. We're setting the agenda in the region that will shape our long-term security and prosperity like no other, the Asia-Pacific.
The president has focused on the Asia-Pacific region, which includes everything from Pakistan to China and North Korea. But our next guest says in the Middle East, America's and Obama's leadership has been in some aspects a striking policy failure. Further, Fawaz Jirjis says America's ability to dictate policy in the Middle East has diminished, that we are witnessing America's moment there coming to an end. That's pretty damning stuff. And we want to spend a few minutes today with Fawaz Jirjis, chair of the Middle East Center at the London School of Economics. His new book is Obama and the Middle East, The End of America's Moment. And he joins us from the studios of WNYC in New York. Fawaz Jirjis, always good to talk to you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
But as I said, pretty damning stuff. So if you wouldn't mind, let's just start. Brief laundry list. Just tick off briefly. I mean, it's half the book. But tick off briefly what you see as President Obama's failures in the Middle East.
Well, I mean, Obama's greatest political failure has been his inability to deliver a Palestinian-Israeli peace process because he made it a strategic priority of his administration. On the first day in his White House, the first telephone call he made was to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, in which he promised to deliver, to broker a peace settlement between Palestinians and Israelis. He also, and this is a very important point, he also said that a Palestinian-Israeli peace treaty serves America's vital strategic interests in the Middle East itself.
And instead, we saw the Palestinians turn to the UN for their two-state bid. So obviously, failure there.
It's a very, very important failure because this is really, Robin, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is one of the most important fundamental fault lines in the region, not just between Jews and Palestinians or Jews and Arabs, but also between Arabs and Muslims on the one hand and the United States. They view the United States really as deeply involved in the Arab-Israeli conflict.
But continue
also,
your list. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. President Barack Obama, as you know, an inspirational leader. When he came to office, he gave a series of speeches in Ankara, Turkey, in Cairo, Egypt, in Jakarta, Indonesia, in which he really made major pledges about a new beginning with the Muslim world, about changing American foreign policy, about basically an enlightened foreign policy that takes into account the aspirations and the dreams and the fears and the hopes of the people. The reality is there is a big divide between the rousing rhetoric of Barack Obama and the actual policies. And here, Robin, it's a very, very important point. One of the major points I make in the book is that contrary to what his right-wing critics claim, Barack Obama is deeply anchored in the consensus in the American narrative on foreign policy, that he is far from being liberal or even leftist. He basically subscribes to the dominant views on American foreign policy. He is a realist. His model of his foreign policy is Bush Sr. and JFK. He has always stressed that he was a realist as opposed to being a liberal or a preacher or a sermonizer or a democracy promotion president.
Yeah.
And this, what this tells us, the reason why you cannot discuss the Barack Obama foreign policy without discussing what I call the bitter inheritance, the bitter legacy between the United States and that part of the world. He inherited a severe challenges, and what he has been trying to do is gradually address some of the questions as opposed to a transformational foreign policy that challenges the dysfunctional American political system. Barack Obama has not tried to change American foreign policy. He is a centrist president in the same spirit of most American presidents.
Well, one of the things he inherited over decades, as you say, is that it's been for decades the American policy to prop up dictators in the Middle East because the feeling was that at least those dictators were preventing uprisings and terrorists from unsettling the region. You say that was the thinking, which is why, as you and others point out, the U.S. was late in getting on board the Arab Spring, but then when the Obama administration did. It was for some countries, against the Arab Spring and others. But Fawaz, just as you lay out your thoughts before we come to the break, and we'll pick them up on the other side, you yourself say that President Obama inherited what you call a poisonous legacy of the Bush administration, you know, one that tried to impose democracy. Isn't, in fact, the Obama administration, in moving away from that, maybe not appeasing you or others who would want him to do more, but isn't he moving away from what you said was a poisonous legacy?
Absolutely. And in many ways, from day one, President Barack Obama and his foreign policy team made it very clear they want a clean break with the neoconservative legacy, the multiple wars on multiple fronts, the hundreds of thousands of American forces battling in Muslim lands. America's moral credibility suffered a great deal. He also wanted to get rid of the so-called democracy promotion and return American foreign policy to the days before it was hijacked by the neoconservatives.
Fawaz Jurjis of the London School of Economics, his new book, Obama and the Middle East, The End of America's Moment, in which he lays out what he says is a largely failed foreign policy in the Middle East from the Obama administration. And Professor Jurjis, Fawaz, you were just saying in answer to my question, you know, isn't it something that the administration said they wanted to do, move away from the Bush administration, which was imposing or attempting to impose democracy on the Middle East, as you write, that failed and weakened the U.S. in every way. You know, the Obama administration had pledged to move away from that.
Absolutely. Move away from the social engineering project of trying to plant Jeffersonian seeds of democracy from the top down using American forces, trying to reduce American boots on the ground in Muslim lands, shifting the debate from the poisonous foreign policy to other issues. Absolutely correct. And he is what he has not done, Robert, and this is not a book about really, it's not just about the Obama presidency. You cannot discuss the Obama presidency in isolation of American foreign policy and what I call the dysfunctional American political system. That is, what I mean by the dysfunctional American political system, which includes special interest groups, it includes the Congress, it includes a consensus on American foreign policy that basically does not really address the serious challenges facing that part of the world and America's challenges in that part of the world. So what Barack Obama, while he is absolutely correct to move away from the neoconservative strategy and legacy, he has not really invested adequate political capital in trying to capitalize on the inspirational moment. He has not really invested capital in trying to bridge the divide between the Palestinians and the Israelis, which is the most fundamental fault lines. You might say, why? Why not? Because he does not want to challenge basically the dysfunctional American political system that would have been costly to his presidency. And that's why I started by saying that contrary to what right-wing critics would like us to believe, Barack Obama is a mainstream president. He has not really attempted to radically change American foreign policy. And also, as you suggested, Robin, what we need to understand about this particular presidency, it's not just only view the Middle East through the dominant lens of American foreign policy. The Middle East is not important for this presidency. This is a Pacific region president. This is a presidency that believes America's future lies in the Pacific region and Asia, not in the Middle East. The Middle East is not important for this presidency, and that's why when it came to investing serious political capital, Barack Obama has shied away from basically making the investment. And finally, on this particular point, is that Barack Obama, in a way, it's not just, but it's wrong to say that this is a failed policy. In fact, I go out of my way in the book to say that his foreign policy is a mixed bag. His greatest political achievement has been to pull out American forces from Muslim lands. His most important political achievement has been to indirectly shift the debate in the Muslim world from the poisonous foreign policy to questions of empowerment, institution building, dignity, and development. He has used his own personal story in a very effective way initially, but the reality is he has not invested serious political capital to begin the process of challenging the dysfunctional American political system and basically change the lens through which the system itself views that part of the world.
Well, a couple thoughts. Some might say after watching, especially the Arab Spring, that maybe parts of the Middle East would do better if the U.S. did do less, you know, as countries took it upon themselves to liberate themselves. But then there's also this thought of it, you know, that it's intractable. And you mentioned that the president seems to be interested in other areas. Well, there are people who are applauding that. Here's Leon Hader of the Cato Institute, a libertarian. Obama not only recognizes that the U.S. is constrained in its ability to determine outcomes in the Middle East, he also understands that the continuing U.S. preoccupation with the region doesn't allow Washington to invest the time and resources in maintaining its position in East Asia, where core interests are at stake.
Robin, the beginning of the end of America's moment, I mean the subtitle of my book, mm-hmm. It's the beginning of America's dominance that has been in the region since the beginning of the Cold War, 1947. I see it myself as a positive thing. That this particular book really is an empirical examination of American foreign policy. The reason why I think the end of America's hegemony in the Middle East is a good thing because finally Arabs and Middle Easterners are taking charge of their own destiny. What we have seen in the last 15 months, the reason why I believe that America's decline does not just have to do with economic decline. It does not just have to do with the 9/11 wars that exacted a heavy toll on America's moral standing and image in the world. It has to do with the fact you have an awakened public opinion in that part of the world that's taking charge of their own destiny. And the focus is on empowerment, on basically being in charge of their own destiny. That's not the question, absolutely correct. What we're saying is that on the most important fundamental question, in which he himself defined, he has not really taken the leadership. He has not really stood up and basically tried. Let me give you an idea and be blunt with what I mean by that. I mean, three major confrontation with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Three major confrontation, and rightly so. Barack Obama caved in the three confrontations.
With
Why?
Netanyahu, yeah.
Why? Because, first of all, he did not want to challenge the Congress and special interest groups that would have required major investment. And also, President Barack Obama governs by consensus. When he faces challenges, he retreats. So we give him credit for a great deal of things, in particular by getting the United States out of the ditch in which the neoconservatives basically put the United States in the first place. We believe that this president could be a great president in foreign policy. Unfortunately, so far, the president has not really basically translated his great promises into concrete policies.
Fawaz Georges, his new book is Obama and the Middle East, The End of America's Moment. You can read an excerpt at hereandnow.org. It is quite a compelling read. Fawaz, Professor Georges, thank you so much. And anytime, we love having you here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
And by the way, what say you? Jump in online at hereandnow.org. Are you disappointed in President Obama's leadership, or are you relieved that America's moment in the region may be over? Let us know your thoughts, hereandnow.org.